Hey everybody, Boss Barrel Radio here. How you doing, fellas and lady cat?
I'm great.
Great, Ryan.
I'm great.
Ryan Fielder, snorting some fish earlier. Feeling great?
That was me.
Oh, that was Ryan.
Yeah.
John, how you doing?
Fine.
John Stanhope.
Fine.
That's the sound of John Stanhope's voice.
Fine.
Great. Billy, jumping from box to box. And this is Griff, Hoffman. Boss Barrel Radio team, assemble! So we're here to talk about stuff. I saw Battlefield, or Battle LA. I will never get that name down.
Battlefield for
Battle
LA.
Los Angeles is just such a bad name.
It is. It's pretty terrible.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, it was decent.
Didn't I talk about that last week?
Yeah, yeah, you did. Yeah.
Say, okay.
Yep. Yeah, so.
We're really promoting that movie.
Yeah. This podcast brought to you by Boxes.
For the battlefield.
Boxes of battlefields.
Battle, New York.
Battleground.
Battle.
War battle.
Battlefield war of battling.
Yep. Modern battle.
Call of battle.
Zone.
So, anybody else do anything exciting? Non-video games related? Just watching Billy play Leapfrog with the boxes.
I went and saw Lincoln Lawyer last night. I'm sorry.
How was that?
It's actually better than I thought it would be, but I don't know. It's a courtroom movie, and
Claire drag you into that one?
Yeah, the thing was, I went and saw, like, I told her we would go see Battle LA last time, and so I decided that she decided that she would choose what we went and saw this time. So
that's sweet. I didn't see any movies.
Yeah, well, I mean, pretty soon we're all going to have to go see Sucker Punch, right?
Yeah, that's out now, isn't it?
Yeah, it is out now. I can't find the release date for Super, though.
That is in the future.
Right, I mean, in the future, obviously. But
yes.
I just don't know which future this is, but whatever.
Your future.
It's my
your
future, okay. John. Okay, I see how this time paradox works now. Yeah, good. Movies are good. I got my PlayStation back.
And
yay! Well, I didn't get my PlayStation back.
You got a PlayStation.
I got a PlayStation.
PlayStation.
Yeah. So it's got, you know, twice as much hard drive space as the old one.
Nice.
So
how much hard drive space is this?
120.
So you just basically had to upgrade.
It's for 120, but when I go look at it, it says 111, so whatever.
Yeah. There's 9 gigs.
Yeah, exactly. What are they doing? Well, but at the same time, though, like, you know, like when I had my 60 gig, it said 55 gigs. So,
right. How come it's weirder? The more gigs there are, the less or the more that are being used.
That's always wondered.
Yeah, I was. Okay, so it's like originally it was a 60 gig and 5 gigs of that was being used up. Now it's a 120 and 9 gigs of this are being used up. And I'm like, so where's the.
Right.
Oh, where's that?
My like 250 has like 235 on it.
Yeah, it's like, all right. Where's the math on this? Because it's bigger, it requires more space to run itself. To run itself. Yep. Exactly.
Whatever, man. That's why I don't do computer stuff.
Exactly. But it's
I've submitted to technology.
You win.
Semantics. I have 66 more gigs than I had before, so
that's nice. And you have a Slim now too.
Yep. It's a Slim. Swear to God, it runs faster and looks better, but I also might just be like a delirious from not having my PlayStation for a couple of weeks. So, but like hurrah to that, I went out and bought myself a fancy new Blu-ray because I just
Blu-ray movie.
Yep, yep.
Which one was that? Bought the
Grindhouse double feature.
Good one to have on Blu-ray.
Yeah.
Well, okay. So
you want all that grit.
Yeah. So the thing
and
was,
the Blu-ray
like,
is the missing reel not missing
anymore? No. I'm pretty sure it's still missing. The thing though is like, one of the special options for that is turn film grain off.
What?
And exactly right. Because you sort of like that's
turn Grindhouse off.
Yeah, like
it's
like,
one in the same.
Here's how you watch toggle. Here's how you don't movie. Do it. You just don't fucking watch that movie.
Yeah,
like
if you toggle it off, it just turns the movie off.
Like, right. Nope. That's how it should be. But so the thing of the Blu-ray edition for this though is that like originally they said you could only see this the theatrical way in the theater. This Blu-ray releases both movies in the theatrical cut.
Oh,
like,
that's cool.
With all of like those crazy ass like like
when the projection burns up.
No, like Nicolas Cage is like crazy vampire zombie.
Oh,
priest.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
And like you all those like shitty movie
werewolf woman the machete of the SS.
Like machete is like in that included and everything. Like
machete trailer, or machete,
the machete
movie?
Trailer. Oh. Like all that craziness is included in there, and the intermission stuff is included, and it's like 3 hours all together. So
what was the was it the a worthy buy?
How much did it cost?
The Thanksgiving 20, one.
25 bucks.
What was the Thanksgiving one?
Oh, dude, I don't remember. But yeah, there's the one that also had, God, I can never remember his name, but the one guy that was Bilbo Baggins, or not Frodo.
You're talking about
Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, whatever. Elijah Wood.
Elijah Wood. He's like one of the gay monks in one of those trailers that they have in there.
Huh. I'm confusing
gay?
Confusing that point, with the Tropic Thunder previous movies.
Yeah, I think that's it. But so yeah, I haven't watched it all yet, but oh boy.
Like, is there a way to just watch those trailers?
I can only hope. It's a two disc thing, so it's like you have all the special feature stuff included on one disc, and then you just have the whole like cinema experience on the other disc.
Did you guys see Grindhouse in theaters?
I did. Yeah.
I haven't even seen it.
What? You haven't seen it to begin with?
Nope.
Whoa. Planet Terror or Death Proof? No.
Nope.
Oh, dude.
Dude, Planet Terror is so good.
I have something for you.
Love Planet Terror.
How do you like really shitty B movie zombie movies?
Eh?
How much do you like cameos?
How much do you like cameos? How much do you like the idea of somebody pickling testicles?
How much do you... No, just...
my spare time when I'm not playing video games.
Are you a fan of balls jokes?
Anything to do with testicles, balls, and or pickling, I'm in.
Cool.
What about a chick with machine gun leg?
Oh, machine gun leg. Yes.
Well, if she's doing the pickling...
No. Nope. It's the weird guy who played What's-His-Name from Lost.
Saeed, I don't know what his Naveen Andrews, I think.
It's the same guy, right?
It is, okay. Yeah. He plays one of the characters. There's so many people in that movie.
So many crazy people.
Robert Rodriguez's son.
Isn't your
one of the main characters?
Yeah. And he's
isn't your favorite guy of all time in that movie?
Bruce Willis makes a solid cameo.
Yeah. He's like the evil army general. Not general, he's like a major or something. Whatever.
He's an
officer, yeah.
He's a guy with a hat and a gun.
Hooray, yeah.
Just a guy playing a dude, doing another dude.
Much like all Quentin Tarantino movies, Quentin Tarantino is also in the movie.
Yeah. Well, no, Planet Terror is Robert Rodriguez. And
that's right.
But Death Proof, he is also in Death Proof.
He's the bartender in Death Proof.
He's the one that says, this is Stuntman Mike.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Who is Kurt Russell. Who Griff has decided is a
I think
bad
I have
actor.
Seen
decided that,
movie. That
Kurt Russell is not a good actor.
Really?
Yep.
I disagree on this.
I think a lot of people would disagree with you, Griff.
All right, well, bring it on. Let's rewatch all those movies. John and I talked about this yesterday or the day before.
Isn't he in Battle for L.A.?
No.
Well,
you mean Escape from L.A.?
He's from Escape from L.A. and New York. Escape from L.A., awkwardly enough. Like in the timeline, it takes place right after Battle LA. Yeah, that was a thing.
So, okay, those movies, let me break it to you, are not good.
You kidding me? I watch those at like 3 a.m. on USA all the time.
Okay.
Imagine
them in the frame of that era when you were watching them. Were they good then?
I enjoy Tokyo amazing. Drift, but I don't believe that the main character of Tokyo Drift is the greatest actor ever.
I'm not stating that Kurt Russell.
You're telling me that Snoop Dogg's nephew is not a good actor?
Lil Bow Wow?
I'm not disputing any of these things. These are great films by any stretch of the imagination.
The films are entertainingly good, but Kurt Russell...
I don't think Kurt Russell does any damage to these films. That's what I'm going to say. Saying his acting does not play... like a part in making these movies good or bad.
Right.
These movies are just these movies.
Right.
Are there really supposed to be good actors in this movie?
Because I think Kurt Russell was good in The Thing.
These are B movies.
Yeah, that's the one you keep going to. You know, I don't remember Backdraft, so maybe he had a really profound role in that too.
I just don't think Kurt Russell is... I'll allow you this. He's probably an overhyped actor.
What about Executive Decision?
Yeah, that's the one with the, that I confused with Broken Arrow.
Oh, Executive, I see.
Yeah,
where he's, I haven't seen that
the
one.
The guy in the plane.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't seen that one.
Nope, again, not great.
I think he's good as Stuntman Mike.
I think anybody could be good as Stuntman Mike.
That's probably fair.
I think that is the...
Stuntman Mike the, has like kind of a weird character.
That is, just that is like, Kurt Russell's career to me. Is it could be anybody else shaped like Kurt Russell
shaped like...
doing the same job.
Okay, but okay, so if they made a Metal Gear movie,
uh-huh.
would you put Kurt Russell in there?
No.
Snake? No.
Put David Hayter.
Okay, well, that's fair too.
David, put John Hedder.
David Hayter would have to lose some weight.
Though. David Hayter could do people. If Hollywood peoples can do stuff that they can do, then they can make David Hayter into snake shape.
That's fair. Well, I think David Hayter has a decent enough look that yeah. he could pull off.
And he used to do like. Live action stuff at one point. Yeah.
David Hayter
does
is
he
the
look
guy.
Like John Hayter?
David Hayter is the guy that does the voice for Solid Snake.
Oh.
And
just like Nolan North used to be on ER or General Hospital.
What?
Like, man, like.
Wait, Nolan North?
Yeah.
Okay, for a second there, I thought you were saying Steve Bloom. I was like, I can't see Steve Bloom.
I don't know if Steve Bloom has had an acting, live action acting career. I think he used to be I was listening to an interview with him and he did like, he was like a limo driver at some point or something like that. And then some dude was like, hey, you should really get into this like voice acting stuff.
Everybody keeps telling me I should do that, but
you should really get into this voice acting. Yeah. Well, he was saying he got in by just making like disgusting monster noises.
Oh yeah, that would.
And he was giving some... No,
so
like
he took
can't even come close to the things he's.
Well, it sort
produce.
Of blew my mind when you said that he was Grunt in Mass Effect 2. I did not know that.
Yeah, you didn't.
I can't even hear it.
Hmm.
Can't hear it at all. That's crazy. That's him. You know who does not look like who he sounds like? Like the guy that plays Marcus Fenix.
Oh,
weird, crazy, like
Joe...
push broom mustache with handlebars, wearing a beret.
That's what he looked a little bit normaler before. Joe DiMaggio.
Oh yeah,
Joe DiMaggio.
Yeah, that's his name.
Really?
Yep, that's the guy who plays Bender. The guy
really?
Who plays Marcus Fenix.
Oh, okay. So this is all coming together for me now. Yeah.
The mustache may have been a recent acquisition.
A famous baseball player?
I don't know if it's spelled the same way.
I thought he was dead, but maybe he quit baseball. Went out.
Voice samples.
Hey. Yep. I mean, there are tons of people out there that have the same names.
You want to see people whose voices don't match their actual body, you go look up any of the StarCraft cast.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Sweet. Anybody who's done a voice on StarCraft, with the exception of Trisha Helfer, who doesn't really count in my opinion, they don't match at all. Like, everybody's like 100 plus pounds overweight and like just really, well, and granted, it's like, okay, well, they were probably in their 30s or something when they recorded StarCraft 1, and now they're in their 40s and they're looking a little bit more weathered and seedy. And it's just
they've
like,
They've been stuck trying to record all this stuff for the past 10 years.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Stuck in a room.
Anyway. Video games.
Yep. That's what we do here.
So, I got a 3DS, guys.
Ah!
Whoa!
That thing is sure awesome.
Yeah. It looks pretty.
Yeah, yeah. You take your migraine medicine yet?
I am getting over the nausea and headaches it was giving me.
Yeah.
I'm getting nausea and headaches from this studio.
Yeah?
Really, why?
Because you're wearing a white shirt and there's white in the background on other white, and it's like
close your eyes, man.
You want to trade places? I'm looking out bomb a little bit.
You want some sunglasses?
Yeah, we turn off all the lights in here.
Do you have 3D glasses?
Oh man,
can I put some of those on?
No, man, I'm only glasses free.
Do you have any HD glasses?
Yeah, I'd maybe really you should like try doing this whole thing.
I have HD glasses. They're upstairs. Yeah.
Maybe you should try doing this whole thing while looking at me through the 3DS.
All through the camera of the 3DS.
Just through the whole thing. Just see if that does not make you vomit. At least then it'll maybe make me pop away from the wall, white wall a little bit.
So the 3DS is totally exactly what it was billed as. Like, it, the 3D works. It looks good. The slider is awesome. The Wi-Fi, like, all is definitely the next. Like I was telling you, John, like on Saturday night, I was like, having trouble sleeping and like getting all giddy for like, this is like the new thing. Like, we haven't been a part of a new console launch in years. So, and it's like,
We haven't had a new handheld since 2005.
Yeah.
We haven't had a new console since 2006.
I mean, everything's had these little iterations, and then you've had like the tack on things like the PlayStation Eye, the Natal.
Connect
to Natal. And,
I mean, you had Slim PS3 and Slim Xbox, but those are really like new chapters in generations of gaming.
Yeah. So this is actually, I was really excited for it, and it totally delivers on just being like a next generation handheld.
I think just the thing though is like, you also like, think about how many upgrades have been done to like the just overall operating system of PlayStation and Xbox since they've been out. Like a lot of stuff has been added, like, and that's I think really how
how many next generation or next, what is it, the new Xbox front end has a, what do they call it,
Xbox Experience?
Yeah, the new Xbox, the NXC, the new Xbox Experience. How many of those? Two, at least two.
Two or three now.
Blades before, and then
There was like the book wipe blade thing.
Yep, and now there's this new one that is supposed to be tailored for the Natal.
All cornered edges.
Connect. Yeah.
Ugh, so weird looking.
I didn't hear about that.
But yes, it is definitely the thing that you are expecting. Like, it is a 3D non-glasses device that totally works. It has all the little bells and whistles like Wi-Fi and slider for that. The telescopic stylus, the touch screen on the bottom. The AR games that it comes packaged with. And that's the thing that most surprised me, is the things that it comes, just the game comes built in with, is really surprising. Like, you get, besides your average things that you would normally expect with any DSi, like your, or your DS system, you have your, like, your notebook, you have your calendar, you have your, like, I don't know what else is in there usually. I don't know if there's a PictoChat, actually.
No, I don't think there is.
Camera, there's your camera function.
You now have your pedometer.
Yep, so this, like, some of the, just the things that are, I'm totally into at the moment is the pedometer, which is awesome.
Have you figured out how many steps you take at work?
Tuesday or Monday I took 7,000, and Tuesday 7, I only took steps. Like 4,000. So
this just sounds like a lot.
Yeah.
It's a lot of stepping.
Yeah, it's about a mile. Quiet Monday.
7,000, it's over.
Oh, sorry, it's about 2 miles.
Yeah.
I wonder how many of those are like odd bumps that just happen, because like at work you are jarred a little bit more than you are taking steps.
Yeah, right. You might be bending over.
Well, on it, like, something. You just average it out to be, you know, it's like
somewhere in that neighborhood.
About 7,000 steps is what I took. Yeah.
Yeah. Because I imagine the amount of times you get bumped or something happens that would register as a step.
Did you just start shaking it?
Yeah.
At all? You can do that. You can just like Wiimote it,
put it on
and
here.
Shake it to.
Get... It's like you just ran a mile.
Yeah, but I mean, why would you want to do that? It is an accurate tool. But there is an answer as to why you'd want to do that. So let me just keep going with the features that I'm enjoying. Is you've got the pedometer, and then you also have your like your activity log, which will track every game you've played in the day and every like function that you've used on it in the day to time, and you can graph it. And then you can also it'll also graph your steps, so you can view like hourly how many steps did I take. I just really digging that stuff.
So does it also like, are all of these things accessible to people who view you in a street pass?
That's
like, because it'll register people around you that have 3DSs. Can you view their activity?
You know, I don't know. I don't know, because I haven't ran into anybody who has this device yet. So let me just keep going here. The other thing is the couple of the built-in games, like the AR cards and game, and the face raiders, which are by far the best things about that system right now, is the AR game, which uses the camera to sense this card that comes with the, like a playing card that comes with the device. And then you move in a 3D space with your game to shoot arrows or move balls or fish or whatever, using like the top of your table or your dining table, or, you know, we were playing it at the bar. Really
makes
cool.
You ever want to look like a drunk 3D. Jackass without drinking a lot? Play that thing.
Yeah. And then the other thing is the face raiders, which you have to take a picture of somebody's face, and then it glue it like folds that face onto like a face structure. So you have the picture of the face that is on a face structure, and it, you know, it can emote, like makes frowny faces, happy faces, smiles, and it actually looks really good if you map it right. And then you're moving the 3DS around you in this 3D space to shoot these floating heads with balls.
Ooh, I'm interested.
Yeah.
Balls
and faces.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If you shoot them in the mouth, they gag on it too.
Oh, that's right. The dude. Yeah.
Yeah.
He is not lying about that.
Yeah. It's really funny too, because I lost Toby's face. I don't know. It must have not saved it on there.
Bummer.
But Billy is on there, and she looks awesome as a face ace, mapping an animal face onto a human functioning face.
That's pretty funny. I saw that. Yeah.
Yep. So that thing is totally cool too, because it totally works, and it's a good way to just kind of show off the 3D and show off like what it does. So I'm totally digging those major features that just get packaged within the base system too. And then John, you were asking about Street Pass, so that's the other big thing about this is it has the Nintendogs bark mode. So when you have your Wi-Fi turned on, it's constantly sending out a signal trying to ping other people to get to swap information with them. So I set mine up so it will always accept, always receive information, and always give out my information. So it'll send them like a copy of my me, and like it'll say, I like this game, and it'll have like a little message on it. So unfortunately, I haven't ran into anybody, and I wear mine at work and in the mall and all this stuff. And I
am sure by this Christmas, you will be pinging people like nuts.
Yeah, I'm also worried.
You have
though,
so many me's.
I also feel like if I would just go to like Best Buy, or if I were to go to GameStop or Gamers or something like that, where they probably have like a copy set up, yeah, or their own like employees there who have it. Like I feel like I could get some Street Pass information that way. And I'm feeling like by the end of this week, if I don't do that, I will just go to a location for the sake of science to do this and figure out how Street Pass works.
Experimentation.
Yeah, like I need to know, man, and I'm not knowing right now because it's not trading any information.
You just need to go to like elementary schools.
Yeah.
Just walk around there.
Kids just walk. Just gonna stand on this playground.
I just want your information.
Just keep walking around and seeing.
Hey kid, you want to make a Street Pass?
You guys got any 3DS?
You want to? Let's find me together.
I'm gonna share some information. Okay.
You want to swap puzzle pieces?
Do you want me? I mean, my me.
Help me find me.
So that's the other awesome game that I'm totally loving is Find Me. It's part of the Street Pass Plaza thing. So you like, it works like a classic old school dungeon crawler RPG where your me is taken captive and put in a cage at the end of this dungeon by ghosts, and you have to recruit heroes to come into your dungeon and fight ghosts. But your heroes that come in after you can do a magic spell based on the color of their shirt, and then they can also attack, and they have levels and stuff like that. So you can buy these characters, only so many in a day. Otherwise, you have to encounter people who have Street Pass on, and you'll trade information with them, and then they'll become a hero who come into your dungeon to try and bust you out. And every time you like clear a room of ghosts, you get a hat. A hat you can put on your me. It's totally awesome.
Sweet.
Yeah. So it's it's cute and it's addicting because you can only play it so much every day. And that's where that's where everything gets tied together that I really like too, is because you have the pedometer, and for every 100 steps you take, you get awarded a play coin. And your play coin.
Oh, so you could shake it up and.
You could shake it for 1,000 steps and get your 10 coins out of it that way. But, like, I'll just. Like, walking around the house in the morning, I will burn those 1,000 steps.
So Nintendo's awarding you for exercising.
Yeah, they definitely are. You get your play coins and you get your 10 a day, and then you can use those to buy the heroes, or you can use it to buy things in other games like Street Fighter. You can buy more figures.
Oh, I see.
Or you can use it to buy puzzle pieces, and I can only imagine that there will be an expanded thing of Playcoin features. The thing that I'm worried about though is I found some information on in the 3DS where it says you get 10 coins a day and a maximum of 300 coins. So I'm wondering, does that mean you will even if you just accumulate coins, you never spend them, it tops out at 300, or after you earn 300 coins, you don't get coins anymore.
I'm sure it's a maximum of 300.
I'm sure you can, like,
your, like, you just can't exceed 300.
Your coin wallet.
Like, your bank, you need to upgrade to the adult wallet, is what you're saying.
Exactly. Yeah. You need to get the giant.
You need to get rid of the
giant's wallet.
Mm-hmm.
The Patrick Fish Bank.
Yeah.
Upgrade to the Pineapple Fish Bank.
Yep.
Pineapple Bank. I was just kind of worried about that, because I was like, you know, if that creates such a small amount of use for this, if it will die, but I can only hope that's the case.
I'm sure it won't.
I'm sure they wouldn't want to just shut somebody out.
So you take your steps and you get your coins, and then you spend your coins on stuff and games. And for anybody who's listening who does have a 3DS, you can go to Capcom's website and they're giving away a code to get a new statue for Street Fighter. If you care about that,
Street Fighter statue.
Also, update your your 3DS's firmware, and you get OK Go. The band OK Go's music video that you can watch in 3D. It's pretty cool.
It has dogs.
It has puppies. Adorable puppies in and 3D. Stacking cups. Yep. Dogs that stack cups.
Dogs that do stack cups.
Mm-hmm.
Can Toby do that?
No, Toby is not a cup stacking.
Should make
dog.
A video about cats laying in boxes.
Yep.
In 3D.
I feel like it would be it's the been most done.
Relaxing thing ever.
So all that works, and there's just like the thing that I realized after I got this, and it's taken me like 4 or 5 days to up until this point figure out what is all included in this device. Like, the Find Me game is buried in one of the menu options, so it's like you can't access that from the front. You have to go into the game, into this one feature, and then into another feature in that feature, and then you can choose Find Me.
It was a game and a game, finding the game
a little
bit. Exactly. So there's a lot there. And like, it, Nintendo doesn't seem like the, like, when you say 3DS to somebody, they say, oh, that 3D Game Boy. Not like that is what has been the majority of the marketing. Like, the AR games are starting to pop up because of just buzz about it. But it's like, mm-hmm. I think the Street Pass stuff is just so cool. And the games that are involved with that are so exciting. It's just a bummer that I haven't been able to hit anybody who has it.
Yeah, as soon as I can find the relaxation in my budget right now,
mm-hmm.
I will pick one of those up.
I feel like I want to as soon as it comes with a game.
It comes with so many games, though.
No,
I'm telling
you. It's bundled with Mario Kart or something.
But, no, that exists.
But it already exists?
No, yeah, it exists.
The thing is,
go to GameStop. They have bundle package sale deal.
You're not gonna
get pay for more, right?
Right. You're gonna be paying the same price for everything. I guarantee you won't see a price drop until next year.
Yeah.
There's no way that Nintendo is gonna drop the price on this device when they know people will buy it, and they can, all they have to do is not ship anything until August, and then do another, shipment to the North America region. And then after they ship that out, then you have the holiday craze in November where everybody's got to go buy their stuff, and
you could probably make some money. They'll probably won't be around.
I'm not really looking to buy money or get money off that. It's just looking to buy money is what I'm looking to do.
Yeah, you can buy some of my money.
Buy some play coins. I think that Nintendo will not drop the price. If anything, you'll see bundles that'll be it's the different colors. And it has, it's red like Mario red, or it's, Luigi green or something like that. And it comes bundled and it's $300.
What color is yours?
Aqua blue. It's got this really cool sort of finish to the top where it
That's what makes me want to have it.
Transitions from a dark blue to light blue.
No, the shiny
that
on top.
Shiny chrome outside.
Yep, I like shiny.
It's pretty sweet. It's pretty sweet and shiny.
No, if I get one, I'm getting that Cosmo Black, or I'm going to hold out for whatever the red color is.
The rumored chrome and black one sounds really cool.
That does sound shiny.
It's going to have spinners on it too.
Yeah.
3D spinners.
John Cena style.
3-inch spinners.
Yeah.
That's pretty big for a 3DS.
For a 3DS, yeah.
Actually, the screen spins, it can be in
both
3D and spinning, and definitely make me throw up. But yeah, so when I first got it, I was playing it, and I just felt so sick after it.
Were you drinking?
I had a drink.
That would probably help the process.
Of making me nauseous? Well,
yes.
I kept playing it later in the day and the next day, and it just really would get to me. Just this awful, just nauseated feeling. And the more I've been playing it, the more I'm okay with it. But I can't
get used to 3D. Well, that's what people used to say when I went to 3D movies with them. Like, 3D movies make me sick.
But I've never had that. I've never had a problem with 3D before. Like, I don't get motion sick from games. I don't get sick from 3D movies. I never have any of that issue. And now it's happening with
3DS. Also because you're, like, moving with that game. You gotta, like, move up and down.
I don't know. I feel like it might be how close it is.
It's how close it is, and my corrective lenses are just so in. Like, I'm seeing past the 3D.
You got like 40/20 vision right now.
That was another. Like, I don't usually have a huge problem with 3D movies. Sometimes I got a little bit of a headache because I'm tired of like trying to always adjust the focus of my eyes. But this, like, I mean, granted, I haven't played it as much as Griff, but for that first day, I played it just as much as you did,
mm-hmm.
and like I didn't have any problems at all. Like, so far, the 3DS has not made me feel one bit nauseous.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, I don't know. Everybody's got different eyes.
Though. Oh yeah, sure.
Like,
wonder how many people it'll make have seizures.
I'm curious to see how many people.
I do like that they have that giant notification warning, like right there at the very beginning, like when you open up and you have your menu thing. Like, they have that, like.
The test like screen the, that's like... Yeah,
like the... I don't know.
You need to stop playing this after an hour,
yeah.
Or else you will be cross-eyed forever. But that's
Nintendo's
the other really
been like that for a long time,
insanely though. Weird part about this game is like, or this device is, you're looking at a 3D top screen, and then you look down at the 2D bottom screen, and it takes a moment to like transition
yeah,
from...
Yeah, your eyes are like, why isn't it...
Right. Well, it's hard to focus for a second because your eyes are still like being
tricked
by the...
It's like those book games where you have to like... focus for a while and then you see the 3D picture.
Yeah. You see the sailboat or the dolphins.
Yeah, I can see what you're saying, because like with the 3D, since the 3D doesn't come out at you, it doesn't project outward, it projects inward.
Mm.
You're always kind of looking past the screen, like you're focusing
right
beyond mm-hmm. the screen. Well, and so just... like when it's not that way, like mm-hmm. your eyes have to take a second to pull it in.
Yep. And then when you go back to it, it takes another couple seconds to transition back into 3D. So
yeah,
definitely when it's on the highest setting, is that slightly uncomfortable. I also played I got Super Street Fighter 3D Edition for that handheld device, 3DS. And
how is it doing fighting moves?
It's Street Fighter,
3D?
Man. It's Street Fighter.
I think it's about as good as it could be.
Exactly.
For the handheld.
It is. Exactly what you would want out of a handheld Street Fighter game.
Yeah. I mean, it's
plenty of Hurricanes to go around.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I definitely think it would be... I mean, I definitely think I would rather play that game on PlayStation or Xbox,
right.
But not... Just not on...
Yeah.
Is there movement controls
like
to it? Like if you...
No, it's... Yeah.
No,
it's,
there's no, like, 3D space, like, real-life movement to it.
The 3D looks fine in it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it looks good. It isn't, the thing that you realize is it's not built for a 3D world. It is changed from a 2D game into a 3D thing.
So the
layering looks really good. Like mm-hmm. when it does 3D, it does it well. It just is a little like, yes, I can tell that, you know, this is tacked on.
Right.
It has a couple of cool features. One feature is the dynamic view, which switches the camera behind the right shoulder of the character you're playing. So you're kind of like looking at the other player or the other person down a 3D hallway, and then you're above the right shoulder. So when punches or things come at you, it actually gives you that 3D feel of like, oh, there's depth and it's coming at me. So that works really well. The only problem is with that, your controls are still the same. So like to me, it's like, okay, now if I'm shifted over the right shoulder and I want to move forward, I shouldn't push right. I should push up and right to move forward, and no, so it's just telling my brain that the way you're viewing things isn't the way that it should be. The other feature is the touch screen. You have four shortcut attacks, basically. You can program them to be whatever you want. So the default is like two special moves and then your super and your ultra. So instead of having to do the input for your ultra move, you can just press the touch screen on the ultra button and you'll automatically do it.
That seems kind of like cheating.
Well, and it's
yes
even like
no.
Well, we talked about it where like so you have characters that you need to hold an input and then release that input to do somebody's attack.
Right. You have to charge the attack for a second or a second and a half, like, versus characters that don't have any charge time. So with this, you can totally circumvent the charge time.
Yeah, you can just
like
auto input him in there and
kick his ass already.
Stuff that wasn't possible for you before, like, is now like
totally character breaking craziness.
So now you can do like all the ultras.
Well, no, everybody. Now it's that is a thing. Now you can, now I can easily do Vega's ultra without having to think about it. But now I just feel like I could play any character on that 3DS without having a problem.
Well, it is also kind of cool too, because now when I'm playing it, like, it actually helps. I was playing as Cody one time, and I did like a pop-up attack into his ultra, and I was like, this is what I want to be able to do on the like with the controller or the stick, but I can't, and now I'm seeing it here and I can do it, which is neat. Like, it's like, oh, that's cool that I can do it, but it is kind of hollow, because it's like I'm just pressing the button.
You're not really doing it. Yeah.
So yeah, it breaks it for characters off with charge, because then you totally don't have to charge anything. You can just be full assault forward all the time.
Right. Just like, me and Yuri's. She's got that crazy. She has a crazy like combo set up for her ultra that I've only ever done like twice.
The wall, and that's, the EXE kick.
Yeah,
wall
the EXE kick. Thing. Knock them off the back wall into her ultra, which is just like, and that's mostly a matter of spacing. Like, you can do it, you just need to have timing and spacing.
So the other thing that is kind of unique about this Street Fighter, well, just in terms of being on the 3DS, is the button layout, since you only have your four face buttons, you have to use the L and R buttons, but there's only one set. So you don't have just straight up the right side. Your punch button then becomes L1 or L button. But you can also remap any of the buttons as you see fit, or, you know, whatever. So it is... So
punch could be left?
Punch could... I don't know if it could be left. I think it would have to be anything but the D-pad buttons or circle pad.
Well, that was the other thing. Speaking of that, their little circle joystick thing.
Really good.
Really good.
Really comfortable.
It's not shitty.
Yep. It's like, it works like the PSP, but it's a little smoother and a little, like, has a little bit more space to its movement. Like, it goes a little further.
I think the thing that's nice about this is, like,
the pad on top is also extremely nice.
It's thumb sized. It's also rubber, and it's concave, not...
It's like the top of an Xbox stick.
It's like an Xbox joystick. It, like, your thumb fits in there. Granted, it doesn't move on an axis. It just moves. It slides around. Mm-hmm. But for the most part, the only problem I had with it was just like playing Street Fighter. Like, you were right. Like, hitting those forward jumps was a little weird. It didn't work like you wanted it to.
Yeah, but that is really cool. And the button layout definitely works. And as long as you don't like cheese it, the touchpad is pretty cool too, to have those shortcut inputs. The last thing I was going to say is the Street Pass functionality is in there too. So, like, you acquire figurines. Like, the more you play the game, the more figure points you get. And then you can buy new figurines just by lottery. And your figurines have stats. And then if you ever Street Pass anybody who has Street Fighter, your figurines will battle based on their stats. And then it will actually conduct a battle between other characters using your win-loss ratio, which is really, really sweet. It has a full internet connectivity fight. Like, you can do a versus match online just through the internet.
Do you each have to have the game?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
Yep. Definitely.
Definitely.
You both have to have the game. Oh, you're talking for Street Pass? Or for the versus.
No, well, what about, like, to play Street Fighter, but I wanted to play you, we only had one copy of the game, but two DSs.
Yeah, if it was like local Wi-Fi, because they've done that before with certain games. Like old DS, like certain games, like if you wanted to do Mario Kart, you only had to have one like Mario Kart game for a local like DS to DS, like if you were in the same room.
I had no idea.
Yeah. You could do that. It was very limited, like you didn't have access to 100% of the same stuff.
You can play the core game.
Okay.
Yeah, you could race like half of the tracks or something.
Well, then if that's the case, I don't I guess I don't know. Like, there's no, I haven't done the versus, just like there is a versus mode on it, I guess. So I should look into that. Thanks for putting that out. We'll check that out. And then
we can look at the box and probably say,
yeah. The other thing is with that, the Street Pass. Yeah. I think there's actually new videos for everybody too.
Maybe movie intro videos.
Is there new endings for everyone? Probably. Does everyone die?
Yeah, it's just a dream. No,
it's all like dreaming in 3D. Like, that was weird.
Oh. Dan's crazy like sweat dream.
So Dan's dream of the 3DS future.
Yeah. Oh God.
No, I played a match online against the guy. I played three matches against one guy, and it was actually really cool. Like, the connection was stable. There was only a few like hitches here and there. You know, the biggest.
Was he good?
He was pretty good. Like, he won two matches. I won one. Like, it really though just comes down to comfortability with input with this device. Like, the other thing that was cool is he wasn't like cheesing it and doing like a bunch of cheap moves.
Did you say he's playing as Guile?
No, he played as Ibuki. And he played as Ibuki in two matches where I was playing as Akuma, and then I played him as Cody, and he played as Chun-Li. And he walked all over me with Chun-Li.
I'm sure he wasn't doing the faux inputs.
No, it wasn't. It wasn't like a lot. He was playing it not just like spamming super attacks. Okay. Like, unless he had like a string of combo moves set up, and he would do each one of those. But it seemed very natural the way he was playing. Yeah. So it was actually fun, and like the fact that I had a good match round off it was enjoyable. I have some battle points now. I think for the first time in history of Street Fighter.
Woo!
What do you do with those?
I have no idea.
You buy names.
You lose them when I get beat more. Yeah, weird. I think that's really all you do with them. I think you have to have so many to get into certain tournaments. That's how it was before. There's also just a way to view matches. Like, you could just watch a match like it had in Super Street Fighter 4.
And so, like, off of Street Fighter, but like the download stuff and the Netflix stuff. That's not out.
Haven't tried Netflix yet, but I won't be able to get the software anywhere, because if you go into the download store, the eShop or whatever it is, it just gives you a search. It'll say searching, and then it says nothing found. Try again. So dead.
Netflix coming soon.
Well, I think DSi store I tried to go into too, and it just was searching for like 3 minutes and nothing came up. So maybe there is something, but I don't know.
Think it's not supposed to be out for a while. I think it's supposed to be coming like next month.
Yeah. So, well, 3DS is pretty awesome.
Sweet. You got anything else besides 3DS?
Just more Dragon Age, really.
Yeah. My achievements worked.
Yeah, finally. You told me that. You got your. Did they retroactively kick into place?
I had to go through and play it again. Which was cool, because I got to play a rogue as a dual wielding rogue.
Oh yeah, that's right. Because you played as the archery rogue last time.
Yep. So I've basically done all the playstyles now, except for weapon and shield.
Do you have every achievement in the game now?
Yes.
Ugh. Wow.
I think I told one of you, but there's a achievement for Sebastian, the downloadable character, to get him to be a friend or a rival. Uh-huh. And there is a loop to with a conversation with the Grand Cleric, Elthina.
Yeah.
You say, like, you're worthless, and you have Sebastian in your party, it gives you +5 rivalry points.
Uh-huh.
And then you can go talk to her again, and the next, you just say you're worthless again, and it gives you +5 rivalry.
Rivalry.
Yeah, and I just did that for like 3 minutes and got him all the way to rival.
Nice. Sweet.
Yeah.
I'm having a really hard time. Like, okay, so I started playing it again. I went to the stupid Emporium, and the Emporium's kind of cool, and pretty much you do everything once when you're there and you're done. Does it change stuff ever?
Well, if you go back and you have more cash, there's like a lot of other stuff to buy. Okay. And...
sorry, I just thought of something too. So, okay, you know, in Darktown, there's that area, like the lowest part of Darktown, where you always have a quest that involves fighting some person down there. So the first time it's Danzig, right? Then the second time it's somebody named Ziggy, I think. And then the third time, have you guys noticed if there's anybody, like, is this just a thing, or are these all like musician references named?
I've only done Danzig. No, I've
done the other two.
There's another chick down there, but I didn't have a quest with her. I just walked down there and she was there.
I have sort of noticed that too.
Mm-hmm.
Also, my thing stands. I know Ryan probably hasn't been paying.
So
there
I was
is
stuff
dialogue
up.
Variations depending on the things you say, your choices of what you say. Because I notice it. I have totally noticed it because I've started to do quests with a completely different output throughout the game, and I think that is very impressive.
Yeah, I was actually reading about just a quest chain online one time, and it said, like, if your character has adopted this sort of speech pattern, like the sarcastic speech pattern, then this is they'll say this funny thing in this scenario. So they know they didn't have any more explanation into the speech patterns, but like that gave credence to what you're saying, where your character kind of adopts a different mindset.
Because at first I was like having a really hard time noticing if it was actually happening because I was having a hard time remembering things, but it just clicked. Like on the last quiz I did last night before I passed out was it's the one where this woman from the circle has you take that Canary mage. Well, when you go to meet her at her warehouse, there's that Templar standing there with a sword drawn. My guy in the first playthrough was like, well, nice to see you too. But in this one, like, Lady Hawk just was like, you put that away or I will kill you. And I was like, oh, it's probably because I've been more of a prick this playthrough.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Are you playing aggressive Lady Hawk?
I'm playing a little bit more aggressive. That's like, good. There are certain times where I will say things that I'm just like, I don't need to be aggressive because it's just going to come off douchebaggy and I don't need this person to think that. So, so it's like, but for the most part, I am being aggressive. Be aggressive.
Even on my fourth playthrough, I found quests that I had not done before, too.
Oh, also, here's the thing. Like, I don't know what is going on with this playthrough. I am not getting as many quests as I did last time.
Really?
Like, I'm running out of quests. Like, I have burned out all but one quest left to do, and I don't have any money. Like, I have, like, 40 sovereigns, and I'm like...
There is a quest. I was I heard something of... There is a... Pretty much the last quest you can do in Act 1, which I didn't get to this, so... Apparently, I missed it too. The last quest you do is somebody's like, hey, I want to go on this expedition, but I can't because this guy, you know, hates me. So here's 50 sovereigns.
Oh.
You take this and I'll back you if you split your share with me. You're like, okay, so this is...
Would that affect the outturn of the...
You have to go home before and you'll have a letter waiting for you. And that's how you get that.
I see.
Before you go to the expedition.
I see.
Yeah, I had one letter left at the house before, and I was like, know what, F it. Like, I am done and ready to do this.
No,
so.
That might be part of the thing, is because I haven't been home to check my mail for a while.
Oh, that's shitload of quests.
Yeah, you
that's
go.
Right. I remember a ton of quests come from that. I didn't even think about that.
If you do that, though, like, later in the game, he, like, tries to strong-arm you, and he's like, you've done well, and all I got was 50 sovereigns. Get me 100 sovereigns.
Uh-huh.
And
you just beat him up.
I was like, no. And he's like,
no.
We will meet again.
Yeah, I also have I have Isabella now, but I have not run into the quest yet for Fenris, which is crazy weird to me.
It's at home, I think.
Is it at home?
No, the quest you have to go. That one you first have to meet a dwarf who tells you that you have to go get some documents,
some stuff, and then
you walk out, and then there's Fenris,
and then there's So Maybe that quest is something that's in the mail.
Yeah, because he's like, hey, you need to meet me here. I have something for you.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
I've also noticed that you won't always get a ping on your map for... You won't get a thing
some
on your map
won't show up
for
right
somebody who has a quest for you. So I always just try and talk to everybody.
Yeah, that's what I'm starting to do.
I know there's some quests on walls, too.
Yeah,
you can find
that are impossible to get.
Yeah, sometimes like you have to have the camera in the right spot for this eye to show up.
All you have to do is hold... the right trigger or whatever you're playing on.
Right.
So your wheel pops up and then the little circle in the wheel, you aim it to
that makes sense.
And then it'll work.
Because
good on you.
Yeah, there is a quest that you have in that game where it gives you these barrel puzzles.
Yes.
And to do the barrel puzzles without realizing that there's a easy way to do it is freaking insane. Like, I did both of them and completed them. I was like, oh my god.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
I hate this so much.
Yeah, you just pull up that wheel and the little circle in the middle will...
That probably would have made that section go a lot faster. No, I don't want to talk to Isabella right now. I just want to move this fucking barrel.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yep.
I went through that same problem.
Yes, but... Dragon Age 2. I finished the second act, and that second act is amazing.
I am.
It is really good. I think if that had been fleshed out a little bit more, it would have been even better.
How did you handle the end of it? Were you accompanied or did you?
Don't ruin any.
Oh, I did a solo fight.
Yeah.
Yeah. Have you, did you get to the end of Act 2?
No, I am just about to get to the end of Act 1.
Okay. No, I just did a 1v1.
Yeah. I've done it both ways, but.
I was really tempted because I heard another way to deal with it where you don't fight, but the option would have caused me to do something lose that I didn't want to do. Yes, Ryan, to lose a character. Yes, there you go. You would have lost a character if you went that way.
What? Everybody knows that.
No, how do I?
Well, I'm sure, like he's not telling me specific characters, but it's just like...
When
I know, as you're doing the quest, you kind of figure it out as happening.
I'm aware that this game does this too.
I was like, unaware that that would have been the solution until it came up with like, okay, take this person.
That's like, what happened.
And yeah, I heard that. When I heard people talk about the solution to deal with that scenario, and they were talking about, they're like, oh, you can be a real asshole and just do some, just, you just got to be the biggest jerk ever, and then that's how you can like just like get around that. So I was like, interesting. You just have to be the biggest jerk ever when you're dealing with the Aroshock. So every dialogue thing that I ever had with him was always aggressive. So I was like, all right, I'm just going to be the biggest jerk I can. So like every dialogue piece with him, I was just calling him a poop head. And then I get to that point, I'm like, oh, they mean by doing something really, really dumb and crazy. That's kind of awesome too, though.
Okay. There is, because I tried to explore this as much as I could. There's also that one quest where you're supposed to go take out the Talvashoth for that black, like, dwarf wants to kill them all.
Powder merchant or something like that.
And then you meet that one Qunari who, like, tries to warn you, and you have that stupid dialogue with him for no good reason.
Yep.
And I'm just like, why does this dialogue exist if I can't recruit this guy?
You can recruit him.
He can just be like a guest in your party for that fight.
Oh, really?
Yeah. You don't control him. He's right, like, he's like, when
he just
you...
goes around and beats the shit out of people.
Okay, well, because I tried to recruit him, but he never.
It's like, what's his name?
Apparently, I did it wrong.
The husband of what's her name? In the beginning, you know, in the beginning, the redhead girl,
or like when you get Meryl.
Oh yeah, yeah.
The first time you get
Meryl. Yeah. When you get Meryl. When most characters are company characters until they actually join your team. Yeah. Isabella does the same thing. Fenris does the same thing.
Yeah.
Like, most of them are accompaniments until, which is also why the dog is really sweet. Like, the dog is sort of cool.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think
he does much damage.
He doesn't really he doesn't do anything. Like, I read on a little forum real quick because I was trying to figure out how the fuck you get the dog. Apparently, I need to go home more often.
Yeah,
is my problem.
Your home has a lot.
It actually gives
you a level up too if you go home.
I did that. I was like, Jesus, I need to just stop by here more often and just like look at this treasure chest.
Mm-hmm.
Also, have you been to like the extras portion of the game and seen all the crazy shit that you can earn from doing that stupid?
ARG stuff. That's the thing I was gonna bring up is like,
if the Facebook game.
There are so many like downloadable weapon things that you can get, like additional things. Like the Facebook game is one. If you complete the demo on the system that you have, it will give you a bonus weapon for completing the demo. If you've got your pre-order bonuses, you've got your like subscribe to the newsletter of BioWare, and you get an item for that. Like it is.
It's insane. Like you can straight up get that sword that was in the teaser trailer. Yeah, is it a staff?
It's a mage's staff.
That's crazy.
Yep. Yeah, you can get that thing. You get like a bunch of books
that can increase
your knowledge and shit too.
Yeah, they give you a technical level up upgraded. Mm-hmm. Like you get a couple of points to allocate, but they don't actually upgrade your level.
Have you found the potion that gives everybody a level up in your party?
Yeah.
Can you just make as many of them
just
and max
one.
Out
you
your
make
level?
It once and then it's gone.
Oh, really?
You can buy one.
You can buy one?
You can buy one. I've seen it. It costs like 20 sovereigns.
Huh.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
It's in... okay, so you know the guy that owns the bone mine?
Yeah.
The bone pits.
The bone pits. That's right. I was going to say the bone shaft, but I was like... It's not right.
The bone shaft.
Yeah. But he sells one.
Does he?
One.
Are you sure?
I guess I've never noticed because I never look at any of the potion items.
Under potions,
well, he doesn't give everybody one.
It's just that's just for you though. It's like it
allows you. They're all over the place in every act. If you look, there you can buy like just for you.
Yeah, and I was like,
but there's only one elixir of something that gives everybody a level up.
Oh, okay, crazy.
But you have to have
a level up or an ability like allocation.
A level up, a complete level up.
Oh, okay, because. Because the thing I'm talking about from that guy, it's like 20 sovereigns, and it just allows you to pick enough, like take another ability.
Oh, it's the book? Yeah, a lot of people have those books.
I don't know if it's a book upgrade. Or if it's a potion or what
they
it is.
They have the tomes of that, and then they have the potions that let you get attributes.
Mm-hmm. And there are other ways to get them in the game as well.
Right.
Yeah. But like certain puzzles.
Yeah, like certain puzzles. Yeah. Some much easier than others. The book. Fucking book. Just click on it and you get it.
Wait, which one?
There's beginning of it. The book circle. That floats around. If you just click on the book, you get an ability point.
I never did that one. Which book that floats around?
The book, it runs away from you. Okay, it's right on your right hand side when you start that quest in that world.
Wait, oh, really?
Yeah.
In the same world?
It's just right on the right. It's just a book and all you have to do is just click on it and it's like, okay.
I didn't know that.
Yep, ability point up.
Just one.
It's yes, an ability point up. Yep. Attribute. Yeah. Yep.
That's awesome.
Yep. So you can get a lot in that section. Anyway,
it's ridiculous how much is in that game.
It is. Yeah. There is quite a bit.
Like, yeah. The further you go,
it just makes it an even bigger bummer that the dungeons are so pathetic.
Yeah. It really, really does. Because I'm like, there's so many quests, and like, this is so interesting by itself. If your level design made more damn sense, this would not be so weird.
Where I've been like on one quest, finish that quest. Which quest should I do now? I'll do that one.
And it's the same dungeon.
Just like, I'm just like,
you walk out of the foundry and you walk back into the foundry.
Also,
the same door of the same freaking place.
Right. Okay, so
wait a second.
Not only is it like, here's this same map and we'll close off these doors. Sometimes they like to, like, I'm like, okay, I can see how
there's a trap here now.
Well, yeah, there's a trap here now, or it's just like, I can see how, like, you like to play games with this because, like, it's not the same entrance that you start out from every time.
No.
So for a brief moment, you're like, oh, this looks so, oh, wait, god damn it.
And actually, the DLC, I just noticed this, the Sebastian one, it's also the same one, but they put, like, a pretty coat of paint over. It's all, like, dark and in a cavern, and it's, like, green. But I was like, wait a second. This is the same fucking map, just different palette.
Oh, man. That's, like, the thing that I started to realize, too, is all of the keeps, like, every keep, the Viscount's keep, the Fenris keep, your house, everything is all...
Chantry.
It is all the same room, just rotated.
The Blooming Rose.
They just turn things.
One has an extra staircase.
You a different way. Yeah. There's extra rooms that you can go into. Yeah. It's, I mean, the Hangman. It's, like...
Well, the Hangman's pretty original.
Is the Hangman unique?
Yep.
I also
I bet if you think about it hard enough, you'd be like, oh, okay, this is just one of this section in a dungeon somewhere.
Yeah, like, they just built one whole giant map and they just cut little pieces of it out and just shoved it around. So weird. Also, it would not...
Have you guys been in the disused passage?
No. Yes.
Or the blind passage?
Yeah.
The one that's just like that square?
Yep.
Yeah.
Now, when I went
everybody
into
everybody dies there. Just
when I went into the Black Emporium, I was like, "Oh, another fine example of like how level design really is." This like,
yeah,
it's
if you go here, here, here,
it's
here,
a hallway here, that explodes into a cul-de-sac of stuff.
Yeah,
that's all it is. It's just boom. And
have
it's
you
like,
talked to the guy in the middle?
That's he's the like, dude that's constantly talking.
Yeah.
He's, and I'm like.
And then you try to talk to the little guy off to the right, and you're like, what are you doing? And
okay,
he doesn't
so there's,
say a word.
There's a stone golem, there's a boy, and then there's this old man in a giant chair with a book on his face.
Yeah, I was reading about him.
Talking to you the whole time.
Apparently he's cursed because he got a wish, and he wished for eternal life, but he didn't ask for eternal youth. So he's perpetually alive and as like the merchant, like infinitely
can't
old,
move.
Can't die, just like... A husk of flesh. The golem is his, and the boy is his. But he, like, the claim he makes about the boy is like, that's not for sale.
Yeah, the The golem has a crazy
used
name.
Golem rods too, like broken it, and they're like, here, just have them. And yeah. I was like, sweet, but I don't get to use
trash.
It. Yep.
Like, it's like you get that book. Oh my gosh! After that quest, and you go through all that process of like saving everybody, and I did it as good as I could, and the woman, the keeper woman, is like, here, have this book. It is beyond a price. It is, you know, from our most ancient history and tradition archives, and you know, thank you. And she gives you this book, and it's like 40 silvers. I'm like, really? It's trash and 40 silvers? And
yep.
This is
what I know what you're talking about.
Oh my God.
Also, I sort of like was expecting...
I'm okay. Saving this for three, for Dragon Age 3, because I'm going
to... Oh, you will need it.
I'm like...
Somehow.
Yeah.
Okay, so like also the quest with like, where you go and find that guy's wife, Nanette.
Yeah.
And he like gives you the ring back. I was expecting at least... just having the ring in my inventory somehow. I didn't necessarily expect it to be anything like that did anything, but like he's like here, just take it back. I don't want anything that like will give
what,
suspicion.
Did it just give you gold?
Yeah, he just gives you a sovereign, and then it's just like, well, did he give me the ring and I just like flicked it away or what? I don't understand.
It's a sovereign ring.
It's, yes. It's a flattened out just ring that looks like a sovereign. Great. Awesome.
Anything besides Dragon Age you guys been playing?
Crisis 2.
Crisis 2.
Was it fun?
Did you talk about this last week?
No.
Or is this new?
I just started playing
okay.
Last week.
Let's get to that quickly.
I've got
sorry.
One too.
It's all right. It's okay.
Dragon Aging on.
I have for the
like
past 3 months.
It's a good game. I don't know. Like Crisis,
you got some armor, right?
Yeah, you have a power suit.
So what do you not like about it, Dragon?
I just... Okay. The game is sort of glitchy. Like, enemies do tend to jump around. Also, for a dude in a power suit, kind of a pansy. You can't take bullets very well. Everybody must be wearing some sort of super cop armor because I will shoot. Like, I am playing it on the easiest difficulty setting because it's so aggravating. Like, 6 rounds in a dude with the most powerful gun I've got, and then they die.
Hmm.
It's just like... It is so much easier to walk up to people and grab them and then choke them out and kill them. Also, it's just like...
You also said the story is completely incomprehensible.
This story is... It doesn't make any sense.
I just save a city.
Like, I'm really trying to put stuff together. They do not explain where these aliens come from. And here's my thing. Even if they would have explained this in Crisis 1, even if it carries over really well, it's like, this is how Crisis 1 finishes. I'm playing it on Xbox, on a console... So there would have been no opportunity for me to play this on PC.
Yeah.
Why is there no, like, previously on Crisis 1?
Yeah, they're doing that like, on every single game now.
So it's just,
is
like,
there,
why
is there
no,
codex
like...
or something that I could sit down and read like I do in
not,
Dragon Age 2?
Not that I've seen. I mean,
just
the one...
read about this armor I just found.
The one thing I'll speak of is this game looks super polished, super awesome. It's just, like, so much of it is a letdown. The suit does have really cool things to do, but... Like, it gives you tactical options for a lot of stuff. It lets you really know what's going on. You can highlight all of your enemies so you can keep track of them.
It actually gives function to the binoculars.
Right. It does a lot of really cool things. But in the end, like, okay, and then, like, you know, how you were saying, like, eventually at some point you're supposed to get, like, powered up enough. First of all, the interface for, like, the operating system for, like, powering up the suit, stupidest thing ever. Like... I'm sorry.
I think I remember that from the demo.
Okay, yeah. So you have your hand, and then each finger is associated to a button on the key, and you have to hit the... Yeah, follow me here.
Okay.
Like, so, A, B, Y, X are your different finger. Like, when you go to upgrade your suit, he pulls his blank hand up with the suit on it, and each finger has a button associated to it.
Uh-huh.
And if you want to look at the abilities...
Like,
yeah, if you want to look at the abilities... associated to that finger, you hit that button and then he like tweaks that finger and then it shows you like the menus are already there, so I don't know why I can't just scroll through them anyway. But so I hit that button and then it just makes that finger flick. If nothing's on, like if everything's locked out for that finger, that's all it does. It just tweaks that
can
finger.
You hit multiple buttons at the same time?
I haven't tried it.
So you like make a fist?
Yeah. This sounds like a bad idea.
It was just so terrible. I'm like, I would at this point, I would rather just do the main menu that lets me just look at the stuff.
Isn't
I don't
the
know.
Suit
it
hardwired
doesn't sound
in his brain?
As bad as Fable 3's menu.
Right. At least there I understood what they were trying to do.
Right.
Here I'm just like, why do I stare at my hand? Also, staring at your hand while dudes are around, not a good idea. They'll just shoot you for it. I ran into a... This is one of the things where
So it's like the GoldenEye 007 syndrome of like, it does take a couple moments to pull your watch up and look at your item screen when you look at your hand.
No, this is like, while I'm looking at my hand fiddling with menu stuff,
doesn't
pause the game.
It does not. It's the dead space thing, only for like less of a purpose.
Uh-huh.
Also, like same thing with modifying your gun. At least that works though. Like modifying your gun, you can see that stuff and you can hit the button to toggle on silencers or off. Like that stuff works. The thing for upgrading your suit is dumb though. I did run into a glitch with the suit or with the game because I was walking along and I didn't have a gun or anything on me and I was just sort of hitting buttons and I hit the button to go to like the suit upgrade because I wanted to see if I had just like, there was a cutscene where I killed a few aliens. I wanted to see if it just like granted me some points to spend. I pulled it up and it showed me stuff and I was like, oh, no, it didn't give me any points. Bummer. So I put it away, but the menu part of it fell off. The hand was still floating
awesome.
There. I was like... Wait,
Bioshock style.
Wait, did it lock up?
Can you go bitch slap some motherfucker?
I was just like, did it lock up or what? So I just kept moving and like, nope. See, that's the other thing like about it. Like, it will sit there and you can look at all of it. But if I try to use the analog stick to move through the menus and stuff, it doesn't let you. It moves you through the game world. I'm like, screw this.
You know why? Obviously. You know why that's the case? Because it was made in Europe.
And it's made for PC.
It just probably was not ported for the controller very well.
Yeah.
And so the problem with that, like I left it that way too, because I knew I could hit the back button again and it would drop the hand down. But I left it that way because I wanted to see how well I could do piloting with my hand in front of my face while the entire background is blurred out. The best thing ever.
Did you do well?
Yeah. Yeah.
Play an entire level with your hand in front of your face.
But... the game is just so, it's uninteresting.
Yeah.
And it's like.
So you're at shoot. So, okay. So the question that I was going to ask you was, since you're the only one who can answer this. So between Bulletstorm, Crysis, and Killzone 3, the three big shooters that have came out this year, where does this rank?
Bottom of the three.
Okay.
Because I would much rather play either of those other two games.
Because you've played them all. And I mean, in different ways.
Mm-hmm.
Did you play any multiplayer?
I did not. That is the one thing I would like to play to see if that's even the saving grace of this game.
It's not actually by the Crytek dudes. It's
sweet.
By
maybe that's
the guys who did Time Splitters.
Oh, okay. So yeah, maybe it is worthwhile playing that.
I'll give it a whirl. Halo and Call of Duty combined.
Maybe I'll give it a whirl. Because okay, so the other thing that I really started to acknowledge was a bummer is your character is a silent protagonist, like says nothing. But people are talking to him all the time. No, I really wish that was the case. I really wish this guy was just like a mute or something. But
he'll talk in the sequel.
Hopefully. But like the thing is, like everybody is talking to him all the time. He says nothing to them. And I'm like, okay, there are only two games for the rest of time that I ever want to see where the main person you're playing as does not talk. Portal 2 and Half-Life 3.
Yeah,
I don't know that because I think Valve's the only people that can make me believe that somebody that I'm playing as doesn't have to say a word, and I still appreciate that character somehow. But it's like this guy doesn't say a single thing, and everybody is just under the illusion that he is someone else. And I'm like, a lot of the issues that are going on could really be resolved if he would just say, "Hey, I'm not Prophet. I'm not that guy.
That's not me.
I'm not that guy."
Yep.
Just putting that out there. I'll take the helmet off and show you not that guy.
Maybe you are just the suit.
Maybe you are Prophet and you don't know it.
That's a thing they go into is like...
You're not a person. You are the suit.
That's something they go into like pretty early on in the game is that the suit is more than just the suit. At some point, the way the suit works is it like your main character should have been dead by the beginning of the game, but when Prophet puts the suit on you, the suit just starts to basically weave itself into you. Like... they do an x-ray scan on him and like he has like several broken ribs, a punctured lung, like crushed vertebrae, but the suit is holding him together.
Maybe his vocal cords have been
cut. Yeah, maybe he had a crushed larynx too. I don't know. Like I don't know, broken jaw, his tongue somehow got seared off. I don't know. I still don't understand where these aliens are coming from. No one's doing a good job.
They're from the Earth.
Are they from the Earth?
Yeah.
That's where aliens come from.
They were in Crisis. They were like in the middle of the Earth.
Oh, great. Does that make sense?
So they're not actually aliens.
Turned the planet to ice. I think they're aliens from like a long time ago.
Whoa. That makes so much sense that it makes this game make less sense.
Now I get
like,
it.
Like that makes...
worse.
I just don't...
Yeah.
I don't know.
So you're not a fan of Crisis.
I just don't like it. And like I read all of these reviews about it and I'm like, I don't agree with anything that's being said right now because I don't think this game is good. Maybe the online is the only thing that redeems this because the single player is garbage. I straight up had dudes like enemies that would like be on one end of the map and be shooting at me.
Oh, that's nice.
And then all of a sudden they would be right in front of me. Oh. And I was like, I'm sorry, what?
It's a suit upgrade you get later.
Yeah, okay, cool. Well, and that's the other thing. The suit upgrades, the power effects that you get from this stuff, they're worthless. Like one of the mobility upgrades, I shit you not, is the ability to control yourself while you're falling. Hmm. Like, and that's the second.
That's a waste of an upgrade.
That's the second most powerful
upgrade. Do you fall a lot?
There's a couple of times where the game requires you to fall. Also, the game does a very poor... There is one part where it's like, you need to jump off this ledge. And I'm like, okay, cool. So I jump off the ledge and it kills me. And I'm like, oh, okay. So that's why it's telling me to, like, that's why it's giving me the helpful hint warning that it's like, I hit the LB, like the left bumper to turn the armor on. I was like, it's not specifically telling me what to do, but it's just like bringing up old prompts where I'm just like, oh, maybe it's just saying this because it's saying it.
Sorry, man, we got to cut this.
It's fine. It's a bad game. I don't recommend it.
Thing off because... We have to take our questions quickly here. Ah! First one is a comment on the blog or on the Lost Barrel Radio page from Hunter, and he says, "I'd like to see Ryan's Left Brian play Black Ops for a show and tell," which we've formulated this out and talked about it, and we're gonna do that. We're gonna have Ryan playing some Call of Duty Black Ops to showcase the new maps.
Woo!
And maps, then Black Ops. Yes, and probably something else in there too. Second message is from Jen, email. Jen says, if you were allowed to play only one game for a month, what would it be?
Call of Duty.
For a month?
Yeah. So the way she phrases it, she says, if you were only allowed to play one game for an entire month, what would you play? So I get...
Right now, Call of Duty.
So if you could only play... So the go-to for... I don't know. Like,
I think I could do that with a lot of games.
I do too. I could
play... Let's go with a year.
Well, I was thinking so twist the question slightly. So when she says play for an entire month, then that means... Everything else is shut off, and all I have to do is play this video game for a month straight. Like, it is like a job playing this game. Don't worry about anything else.
Oh, man.
Call of Duty.
Really?
Yeah. Something different every time.
Yeah. I could probably, since I've already pretty much done it with Dragon Age 2, I could probably do Dragon Age 2. I could do Mass Effect 2 easily.
Yeah, I was going to say.
I will happily replay that thing as the only game for a month. Mass Effect
2, Dragon Age 2. I could do that with Disgaea.
Yeah.
Disgaea 1 or 3.
Do Super Mario World.
I don't know. There's some RPGs that I could do that with.
Final Fantasy 7.
Yeah, 7 or... I did that with Final Fantasy 11. So. World of Warcraft, there's your answer.
That's always the answer. Like, if you could only play one game for a year, what would it be? The answer is World of Warcraft.
World of Warcraft. Yeah. Or your MMO choice. But yeah. I mean,
or whatever is the most hottest shooter at the moment.
Exactly.
Transformers.
So, yeah. There you go.
Trying to think of another thing that I had like a prolonged addiction to that was not okay.
Years of War.
Resident Evil 4. I could do that.
I could probably play Metal Gear over and over and over again.
Which one?
Four.
Four.
See that we're just listing good games.
All of them. I mean, yeah. All of them probably. I mean, I did that with Metal Gear Solid.
Why would you want to play a bad game for a month straight?
Because I hate myself.
Oh, man. All I can play is,
Farmville.
Crysis 2.
Yeah. Man, the only game I'm able to play
Mafia
is...
Mafia Wars.
Yeah, those isn't how I need to know if those are games, man.
Dude, those are great RPGs.
All I can play is Fusion Frenzy for an entire month. I think we should go outside.
By myself.
Angry Birds.
Not with other people.
I like how the games you guys are naming of bad games are like... like fake casual games.
Yep.
Or it'd be like,
Bejeweled, damn it.
I could do Bejeweled for a month. I could do Bejeweled or Peggled, yeah.
Dude, I would do Peggle for a month. Yeah.
Now, if I had to play that for 24 hours a day for 31 days, then I would not want to do that.
If I had to, maybe.
All I can see is pegs.
Okay, if you want to talk about a game that's probably not that great to play for a month.
Stacking.
No.
Shenmue.
Okay.
Yakuza.
No, Pokemon. I would probably just devote myself to... It's not a great game. But at least then I could just pigeonhole myself to I'm gonna just take care of this.
I'm gonna get level 99 I'm Pokemon.
Just, I bet it would go faster than you think though.
Probably, but then I'd have to catch them all.
Then you just
you can't though.
They're all 99s.
Aren't like all 650 of them in this? No.
No, you have to have the other version.
F that.
Yep.
There's only 325.
Just be sending out like Pokemon that have their names rechanged as cries for help.
Yep.
Send me must play, stuck can only play Pokemon and wants to trade with
please,
you.
Please give me
Pokemon need, for life.
I just need to see something different, please.
Does anybody have tic-tac-toe?
Oh man.
So yes.
Well, could it be like okay?
I guess you want it.
No, that's fine.
What are you thinking?
I don't know. I was just thinking like if it was like if I had the NGP then I could just
what?
Nothing. I just. I'm thinking outside experience. The boundaries. I'm thinking outside of the boundaries of the
question. So yeah, that's it for our questions this week. Thank you for writing us bbr@bossbarrelradio.com. Boss Barrel Radio website. Go to the podcast or the Boss Barrel Radio tab and put a comment on there. Otherwise, go to the Facebook page Boss Barrel. In Facebook and right on the wall there, send us a question that way. All right. Not too much for news this week. There's just been a few little things I'll touch on quickly. 3DS launch, of course, there's a launch, so there's launch problems. Certain 3DSs are getting this black screen of death, is what it's being called colloquially. It's an error screen that says, like, please. Turn off your system and reboot your game device. Nintendo has spoken to Eurogamer and said a statement that reads something along the lines of, we realize this is a problem, we suggest you download the most recent system upgrade and that should take care of it. And it's like, if you know, otherwise contact your nearest Nintendo retail center to have advice. The problem with that is the internet world is crying foul when they say, well, mine got this error when I was downloading the most recent update, or I have the update and I still got the error, and like that is not a valid solution. But it's also limited and it's brand new, so I'm sure the bugs will be ironed out in time. And Nintendo does acknowledge it. It's not like they're just like, yeah, sucks for you guys, like Xbox.
Yeah.
Hope you enjoy getting a new system.
The PSP when it first launched.
What was wrong with PSP?
They had little pixels that didn't light up. They were
dead pixels?
Dead pixel problems.
Yeah.
There's a couple of DSs that I saw that.
Yeah, you can usually get that. What I wrote on the post is, you know, since we're only a week out, you just take it back to your retailer.
Yeah, they'll take it.
You know, they'll deal with it for you.
Yeah.
What else happened? There was some video game that was announced. Resident Evil... Operation Raccoon City.
What?
It's going to be like a retelling of Resident Evil 2 that's a squad-based shooter. More information coming in the most recent OPM. Third-person squad-based shooter, Leon Kennedy, everybody's favorite rookie cop, Leon Kennedy is going to be in it.
Is he still a rookie?
He is in that world. So he, stop it, Billy. So he, you know, is still going to be hotshot rookie cop. The other thing that happened, I'm trying to think here, sorry.
I played Dante's Inferno.
Oh yeah. Did you? More Mortal Kombat people. Blind Kenshi and a new character named Scarlet.
I love Blind Kenshi.
Scarlet is like a red lady ninja. She's going to have daggers. And she was like a fake character from previous games. Like the rumor of the mistaken Air Max, she was like a mistaken character named Scarlet. So they took that and made it into a real thing. It was kind of cool.
Blech. I don't think I sound cool at all. Give me just my traditional guys.
You didn't like Dante's Inferno?
No.
No?
Not really. I mean,
I enjoyed it.
It's a game. Yeah. I did finish it, unlike how
I. Oh, yeah, that's the other big Crisis thing. So Duke Nukem Forever is delayed until June. Ah! We have the video on our site. It's very funny, but yes.
And so is something else got delayed. Like, crazy.
Gears?
No. Deus Ex.
Deus Ex. Oh, yeah. Didn't. Yeah, it had never been dated. Like, it was dated.
It's now dated, though, I think.
It's dated for October, I think. Yeah. But before, like, they had alluded to spring this year, never committed to a date, and then withdrew the date a while ago, and now it's redated. We talked about this.
What do you have to say?
No, we talked about this at the work, so don't really know. There's a video you should watch that on our site for the Deus Ex playthrough.
Oh wait, no, the other thing.
The three-way playthrough is awesome. So that's it. That's the end of the episode. We're gonna wrap it up here because we're running kind of long. And look forward to our upcoming video, show and tell of Black Ops, and probably a show and tell of something else here soon too. Right.
What's right. out?
Sure.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, John has a PlayStation
yes,
back, so
I do have my PlayStation back. So recording is a thing we can do now.
Boss Barrel Radio, again, send us some sort of take freaking 15 seconds and write us a question that just says, you know, what is your
favorite, yo, what's up? That
what's
would be
your
good
favorite
for me.
Handheld color? I don't know.
Yeah.
It doesn't even need to be video game related.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yep.
All right.
Who the boss?